Amen. All right. All God's people said, amen to that. Amen. I want to invite you to find a Bible that's close by. Perhaps if you didn't bring one, there's one in the foyer, and you're more than welcome to get one and or slide next to someone that has a Bible. Our scripture reference today is in Nehemiah chapter 8. Now, the reason that we've jumped over chapter 7 is if you'll look at Nehemiah chapter 7, you see there's just a chronology of a bunch of names. And so I thought, well, let's get to one of the best subjects that you and I can talk about today. So if you've got a Bible, a device of some sort, like a smartphone or a tablet, and you want to turn to Nehemiah chapter 8, in just a moment we're going to look at this particular passage of Scripture. Now, as we're doing that, also, I want to make sure that you and I are people examining ourselves, because you can see before you that we have a table prepared that's going to bring us into the presence of God, that once again show us this great sacrifice of His broken body, His shed blood. But I got to thinking about that throughout this week, and knowing that we were going to have this time around the table of the Lord, and I got to thinking how important it is for a man to examine himself, or for a person to examine themselves, to be ready, to be properly prepared. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be perfect. No. This is not a time of sinless perfection. Do you ever hear anybody say that you're supposed to live a sinless, perfect life? They're telling you something wrong. You will never reach that point. I'm sorry to tell you that. I know many of you thought, oh, I thought I was there. Well, newsflash, you fooled yourself, or someone fooled you. We'll never reach that point until we get into the very presence of God. Many of us are somewhat still thinking about the organist that was at First Baptist Church in Ellijay. Her name is Beth Umberger. And Beth just, well, I shouldn't say mysteriously passed away. God had her days counted and scheduled. But she passed away this past week, and her celebration service was yesterday. And Beth is one of those, you know, she was ready. She was prepared to meet the Lord. I trust that you are as well, and that you've come into that relationship with Jesus Christ. So this poured out juice and this broken, that which represents the broken body, we need to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, am I ready? Am I ready to meet Jesus? Am I placing my life before Him with my hands that desire to be clean, my heart desires to be pure? So as we're going through this study today, I trust as things come to your heart and your mind that you'll just put those before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be worthy to take this supper today, and I place this before you. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 8, there is a passage of Scripture here that teaches us and tells us about people who love God's Word. I don't know that the name Bill Hybels will ring a bell with any of you. Bill Hybels pastors a church up in Chicago, outside of the suburbs in Chicago. And he and his wife had an opportunity to go down to North Carolina and spend some time with, at that point, she was still alive, Ruth and Billy Graham. Ruth has gone to be with the Lord, and Billy is still Billy Graham. And but they got to spend some time with the Grahams, and so the night was going on and getting late, and Bill noticed that Dr. Graham was beginning to sort of nod off a little bit, and so he was tired. It's time to retire, time to leave and go back to the hotel. And so they stood and said, Dr. Graham, Mrs. Graham, we've stayed long enough. You guys need to get to bed, and so we're going to go on back to the hotel. And before they left, Dr. Billy Graham said, Bill, feed me some of the Word of God. Feed me some of the Word of God. Now, y'all know Billy Graham. I mean, that guy's crisscrossed the world, probably preached to and seen more people come to faith in Jesus Christ than probably any living being, maybe even past or present. And yet here's an individual that says, I still need a diet. I still need a portion. I still need a taste of the Word of God. That's going to be important for us. It is important for us. And it's going to be very important as you and I study through this passage of Scripture. And so as we look at Nehemiah chapter 8, it's just these first little eight verses, it's just chock full of the importance of knowing the Word of God and loving the Word of God. I want to read you something. Someone has taken the time. They probably have too much time on the hands, but someone has taken the time to give us these statistics about the Bible. So, in your Bible, did you know that there are 3,586,489 letters? Like I said, they've got much more time on their hands than they need. 3,586,489 letters. There are 773,692 words in the Bible. 773,692 words in the Bible. There are 31,173 verses in the Bible. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. The word and, A-N-D, the word and appears 1,555 times, but the word revered appears only once. Esther chapter 8, verse 9 is the longest verse that we have recorded in the Bible. It has 82 words. And the shortest verse in the Bible we have recorded when Jesus was standing at the mouth of the grave of Lazarus, and it's in John chapter 11, verse 35, and it's two simple words. Jesus wept. Two words. Knowing the facts about the Bible is fine, but it would be better for you and I to apply its truth to our daily life as it changes us. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to look in Nehemiah chapter 8, specifically beginning to look at verse 2 and 3. Actually, look at verse 1 as well. And I want you to notice that in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2 and 3, how a people who love God's Word will receive God's Word. Now, this is for us. Even though it was hundreds of years ago, maybe thousands of years ago, this is a good application for you and me today, that if we love the Word of God, and those that do love the Word of God, receive the Word of God. All right? In Nehemiah chapter 8, and beginning to verse 1, this is something that I thought was really interesting. The Holy Spirit just gave me this yesterday as I was studying through this again. I want you to notice it says, and all the people. This is chapter 8, verse 1. Now, I don't know how it translates out in your version of Scripture that you're reading, but in mine it says, and all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in the front of the Watergate. That's not in Washington, D.C., by the way. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Now, watch this. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the word of the law. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit taught me yesterday. Did you know that the Bible that you have in your hand or on electronic basis, did you know that the Bible is for everybody? That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Some people don't think that, though. That's the reason they don't have any reception. They don't receive the Word of God because they say, well, I just don't understand it. It's not, therefore, that must mean that it's not for me. That's not what the Bible said here. And the application thousands of years later for us is that, and all the people gathered as one man to listen and to receive the Word of God. I like there in verse 3 where it says that all the people were attentive to the book of the law. There's something about receiving the Word of God. People who love God's Word will receive God's Word. It has an incredible message. The Bible is for everyone. They listened with their mind because the Bible is the thinking book. They listened with their heart because the Bible is a feeling or an emotional book. But equally as important, they applied the Bible to their lives because the Bible is a living book. Listen to what George Mueller, years ago, George Mueller, a gospel preacher who built orphanages for homeless children, made this statement. The vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the price held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. It's amazing to me that we are so concerned about what's going to happen to Kim Kardashian. Amazing to me that we spend so much time thinking about the political agendas of the Donald Trumps and the Ben Carsons and the Democratic Party and the Republican Party and who's Bernie Sanders and what's in the way. And we spend so much time worrying and concerned about my team lost and what that's going to do in their ratings this year. And are they going to go to a bowl? And we spend so much, we consume our lives with so much time and effort and energy watching and listening and participating and getting involved and talking about and listening to all of this stuff. And amazing that we will spend so little time in the Word of God that has a life-changing, not only life-altering, but life-changing message. That's the reason I love what is happening here, that these people were listening with an intention of doing something. So they were receiving the Word of God. Look, if you will, again in Nehemiah chapter 8. Look at verse 5. The Bible says that Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now you probably, the point being is that they will respect, people who love the Word of God will respect the Word of God. You've probably been in services, and we could do it here, and it would be very appropriate for us to do that, that every time that I would open up the Bible, and I would say, we're going to read the first 8 verses of Nehemiah chapter 8, and if you're able, would you please stand in honor of it? You've probably been in services such as that, and I think that is a wonderful thing to do. It doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't mean that if you don't do it, that you're not respecting the Word of God. But here, thousands of years ago, verse 5 tells us that Ezra opened up the book of the law of God, and people respected it by standing in its presence. There's something about respecting the Word of God. You know what I think our problems in America are? Seriously, bottom line stuff, we don't respect the Word of God anymore. We've taken the Word of God and we've thrown it on a trash pile. Anytime you hear people talk about it, and I was so excited, Marilyn, I was watching this morning on Fox and Friends. We don't ever watch Fox and Friends on Sunday morning normally. It's usually we're trying to find some kind of a, you know, I'm trying to find some kind of a preacher so I can get a sermon up. But here we were watching Fox and Friends. At the very end of this particular time before we left, there's this group, this Christian group up there. I don't know if some of you saw that. Okay, good. And I mean, they are talking about Jesus. And the little girl that was, you know, kind of doing all the introductions, she said, well, you talk about not being a religious, or what do you mean? She said, listen, we don't really care about all the religious stuff that goes on in the world. Man, we just love Jesus. What a respect. And then what an audience. Millions of people watching that and hearing that kind of. Well, what's happening to our world? No, it was not too many years ago. Some of you remember that the vote that came down from the Supreme Court said you cannot read the Word of God. You cannot have the Bible in the classroom, in the school classroom any longer. I remember the days as a small child when we would go to class and we would pledge our allegiance to the flag and we would open the Bible, and there would be a portion of Scripture that would be read from the Bible, and we would even pray. Can you imagine that? What's happened? No respect. God, we don't need you. God, we don't want you. Did you know what the Bible says about that kind of a statement? The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, no, God. No respect. And you can see that, and I can see that all through the pages of Scripture and all through our culture and our society. So therefore, notice that in this passage of Scripture, that there is no respect. I mean, there is a great respect given to the Word of God. David Livingston was a very famous missionary in Africa. And the Bible and the account says that he was making his 300-mile trek across the country. He had 73 books weighing over 180 pounds on his back, and he discarded all of the books except one book. You want to take a guess what that book was? There you go. Put your finger there in Nehemiah. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Now I told you what the largest or longest verse in the Bible is. Esther chapter 8 verse 9. And by the way, we've got an Esther sitting with us today. Isn't that wonderful? But in Psalm 119, you have the longest chapter in the Bible. Now, if you'll do a little homework on this, you'll find out that there's about 176 verses to this psalm. 176 verses. If you'll look real carefully, if you'll read this real methodically and very carefully, you'll find out that every one of these verses, barring just two or three, every one of them has something to do with the Bible. Every one of them. Every one of them. 176 or thereabouts, 174 or 175 times, the Bible is mentioned. And I want you to see it. I want you to see the respect that David, who wrote this song, is going to give the Bible by beginning at verse 9. Psalm 119 and verse 9. You'll see it all through if you'll just take the time to read it. You know what I like to do? I like to take one of those little, it's divided out by the Hebrew alphabet. I like to take one of those little divisions every morning, along with other readings that I read. I take one of those little divisions every morning and just read it, because I want to have a great respect for the Word of God. Look at what verse 9 of Psalm 119 says. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Watch this. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all your ordinances from your mouth. And I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Did you hear the overriding respect and love and loyalty to the Word of God? By the way, as I told you, every verse in there has something about the Word of God. There in verse 9, your word. There in verse 10, your commandment. Verse 11, I've treasured your word. Have I treasured? Verse 12, your statutes. Verse 13, all the ordinances. Verse 14 again, your testimonies. Verse 15, your precepts. Then in verse 16 you have two, your statutes, your word. Over and over and over in Psalm 119, you have this incredible love and respect for the Word of God. You know, I used to think people were really on top of their spiritual life when I'd see them drive up from the parking lot. You know, I'd stand out there as a pastor of a little church or something, greet people in the parking lot, or see folks driving up, and I'd see that Bible on their dashboard. I'd think, oh man, what a giant. Look at that. And that's where it stayed. Until the next Sunday. They'd go in, get in their car, and throw it up on the dashboard, and that'd be where it stayed. It never stayed in their heart. Never stayed with them on a daily basis. Just stayed on the dashboard. A great respect for the Word of God. Notice also in Nehemiah. Turn back to Nehemiah chapter 8. Look at verse 6. Notice also in Nehemiah 8:6 how people who love God's Word respond to God's Word. Now watch this. In verse 6, the Bible says that Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen. While lifting up their hands, then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Why were they saying Amen? You know what the word Amen literally means? So be it, or I agree. For instance, if I were to say, God is good. And all God's people would say, Amen. You know what you're saying? I agree that God is good. Or, the Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Amen. You know what you're saying? I agree that the Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. You know what these people were doing? They were saying, Amen, Ezra. We agree that God has a word for us. We agree that there is a commandment that we should obey. We agree that we need to respond to what God tells us to do. So what do? They bowed low and they worshiped the Lord. They lifted up their hands and worshiped to God. There's a response to the Word of God. You see, I think the Word of God has been placed in our life, however it has come, whether electronically or in printed form, whether it's a pew Bible or whether it's the big family Bible on the coffee table. The Word of God has come to us so that we might respond to it. We might make a decision about it. And my stars, there's all kinds of things that God wants to get our attention about. They responded by agreeing with its truth, by saying Amen. Amen. They responded by obeying its author. Gypsy Smith was an evangelist at the turn of the 19th century, and he said, What makes the difference is not how many times you have been through the Bible, but how many times and how thoroughly the Bible has been through you. You read it with the intention of obeying it. You read it with a heart that this is going to make sense in my life. I'm standing before you from years ago when I was introduced back to the precious Bible that I never took heart. I never took it serious. And yet I'm now introduced to it. And I began to read it. It began to make sense to me. God began to speak to my heart and change the elements of my life. And when I would read something, and he said, David, you are to love your neighbor as yourself. You are to bless those who curse you. You are to do good to those who are doing evil to you. He was telling me at that point, I'm supposed to do something about what I'm reading. Read it with the intention of obeying it. Respond to God's Word. And that's what they were doing. They were responding to God's Word. Listening with a sensitive ear and a tender heart. Let it speak to your life. Let it change your life. Well, I could spend just days and days and days talking to you about what the Bible has done to me, for me, and through me. It's my best friend in so many ways, because it's God speaking to my heart on a daily basis about matters that I need to move out. One final thing. Look again, if you will, at Nehemiah chapter 8. I want you to look specifically at verse 8. Watch this. Notice that in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, how a people who love God's Word will reveal God's Word. They read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Now here's what I came away with as I studied this. I got to thinking about that they read the book. So what were they doing? They were reading the book from a standpoint of hearing its information. Hearing its information. But then the Bible goes on to say, not only did they read it to hear what God was saying, to be informed about His plan and His purposes for the life. But then it says, from the law of God, they translated. Notice that? It says, translating to give the sense. What does that mean? Well, they read it to get the basic information, and they translated to understand it, to explain it. This is what it means. Now, there's all kinds of times that pastors stand before people, and teachers, Bible teachers will stand before people, and they will take the Bible and then say, now this is what this means. Let me give you an example of that. I'm just going to draw one straight out of the air. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now do you know what that means? It means that you and I are supposed to bring our tithes to the house of God and the work of God. Let me give you another one. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that means? I've given you the information. Now, do you know what that means? It means that you and I are sinners. He didn't say some have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Most have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No, he said all. Now, that's all of us. By the way, it's all those people in that apple barn, too. All those people in the groves out there, too. And all those people that are driving on 52. It means all people here, all people there, all people everywhere. It means people all in the past, all in the present, and those that yet are to come. That's what it means. And that's what they were doing. So they were reading for the basic purpose of saying, God, this is, you're speaking, and so therefore this is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing this information. Now what do you want me to do about it? And that's what it says at the very end. They read from the book, the law of God, translated to give a sense so that they understood. You know what that means? It means you do something with it. You got the information. Okay, I now know what I'm supposed to. I now got the information. You've explained it to me as to what it means, and now I'm supposed to do something with it. I'm supposed to apply it to my life. I'm supposed to apply it to my life. We can stay here all day just talking about these kinds of matters of what the Bible has told us to do, and then we need to do it. Can I tell you what the problem is? We just don't want to do it. We know, we've got the information, and it's been explained to us, but David, you just don't know how that person's hurt me. I'm not about to step in, I'm not about to go and love my enemy because you don't know how much I hate my enemy or how much my enemy hates me. I'm not about to do it. And so therefore, what you have done is that you have simply told God, I disrespect you. I'm not going to obey your word. That's dangerous ground to stand on, ladies and gentlemen. So what should we do? As we sort of just pull this together, what should we do? You've seen that people who love God's word, how they respect it and respond to it, they receive it. So what should we do? Well, every one of you have got a hand, okay? We should read the word of God. Yeah, read it. We should study the Word of God. We should memorize the Word of God. We should meditate on the Word of God. And we should apply the Word of God. Putting all that stuff in your system and processing that through your life, that's what we should do with the Word of God. Don't be guilty. Please, church family, worshiping guests, don't be guilty of thinking that this is a good book for someone else. No, this is not a good book for someone else. This is the best instruction that God has for us to live our lives according to His plan. It's not a Bible, as some of the folks in our culture and our society today say, it's a Bible full of holes. I know there's a lot about the Word of God that is very difficult to understand. I've been at this a long time, and I'll agree with you. That is, you're exactly right. Some of this stuff is really difficult to understand. But it's not a Bible full of holes. It's a holy Bible. And God has a word. And perhaps He's already shared that word with you and exactly what you should do in your response to His word. So I want to ask you to bow your heads quietly and just for just a moment. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, I'm going to just invite you to think about what's going on right now in your heart, what God's been saying to you in your life. And there are some of you here today that you've heard the information, even to the point that you've heard it explained, and now it's time for you to apply it. You know what you should do, and yet for some reason you just keep holding back, or for whatever reason that might be. And this is not a statement to put you on a guilt complex. No. This is hopefully an encouragement to say, step out and do what the Word of God tells you to do, or perhaps even what the Word of God has been telling you to do. For instance, there may be one man here, one woman here today, that God has been telling you that He wants to be rightly related to you and you to Him through the death of His Son, His burial, His resurrection, and that you need to come into that right relationship so that not only today but forever you will be in His presence. So today the Word of God says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now you heard that information. The explanation is simple. That God said that He loves you with an everlasting love and He wants you in His family. So what should you do? Make the application. Come into that relationship. Cry out to Him and say, Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner and I know I need a Savior. And that man up there this morning said that Jesus Christ loves me and He died on the cross to prove His love for me. And therefore I want that in my life. Take me. Come into my life and change me from the inside out. And let me live the principles of the promises of your word day by day by day. Perhaps you made that decision right there. You listened and responded to the word of God. Maybe you're here today and this day presents this opportunity and says that you need to be in the assembly of God's people. And so therefore, the doors of this church are open for you to be a part of this church family. You want to be a part of a family that teaches the Bible and loves people and wants to take care of the family of God? Well, perhaps this is a place. And God's been telling you that. He's been sharing that with you. And you know that that's the right thing to do. Why don't you respond then? Why don't you just respond? So our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to enter into the opportunity of coming before the table of the Lord. But I want to give you an opportunity right now. From the simplicity of what has been said today, oh, we could go so much further into this, but in the simplicity that has been said, God has spoken to your heart. He's spoken to your life. Now, respond to it. So quietly, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, there's no music playing, but we want to encourage you to just be obedient to God and do exactly what God tells you to do right now. In the quietness of this moment, won't you do what God tells you to do right now? Someone else. God's been dealing with me. I've been reading a passage of Scripture. I've been reading a chapter. I've been reading a book, and it's really been dealing with me about some area of my life or perhaps people in my life that I need to deal with, and I just need to be obedient to God. I need to respond now. Maybe you're here today, and that's a public expression of your heart and life. Quietly, reverently, in the quietness of this moment, would you come? Would you do business with God right now? Just another moment. Just another moment. Father in heaven, we sing a song to your honor and to your praise that we say, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I trust, Father, that in these moments of quiet contemplation, maybe you've been dealing with us all week long, or perhaps all month long, or maybe even all year long about issues in our life that the Word of God is very clear, very specific, and very clear about. I pray, Father, that today starts a brand new journey of responding. Maybe we didn't come down. Maybe we didn't stand up. Maybe we didn't express anything publicly. But, Father, you've worked on us privately, personally. We know we've got to do business. And I trust that we'll do that, Father, because we love you, we respect you, we respect your word, and we want to receive it and respond to it. And Father, then we want to reveal it to those that are all around us. Thank you for this time. Bless now, Father, as we come to your table. And Father, rejoice with thanksgiving with the price that you paid and the love that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.